Bueno, pues Manifesta 8 está ya abierta al público y esta Bienal Europea del Arte Contemporáneo.
Da Murcia e Cartagena, lo speciale di Radio Papesse. Manifesta 8.
Hi, my name is Alfredo Cramerotti. I'm co-curator of this Manifesta 8 2010-11 together with Khaled Ramadan. As part of Chamber of Public Secrets, CPS as we call him, was founded in 2004. He wasn't really founded, basically we started to work together in 2004 as a media artistic production unit, but also curatorial unit. It's quite a horizontal structure, that's why it wasn't really founded, because there are people who are collaborating with us and they can use the name of CPS as long as they know everybody else that what they do and when and how, etc. For this Manifesta 8, me and Khaled are basically leading the project. When we started to think about this possibility to work in a biennial that we never really did before, although we curated quite a lot of exhibitions, we wanted somehow to push the boundaries of what is the format of an art exhibition and also what is the format of an art biennial. And because we have such a media background, we actually we are kind of almost pushing artists and contributors to kind of go beyond the artistic element and to occupy, but also to work with the media platform. To work with intend not to work against media platform, not to work for media platform, but actually to work with their production team, which is kind of a fundamental difference, really. What we did basically, we started the research in the two cities, in Murcia and Cartagena, the region. Research in terms of institutions, NGOs, artists, collectives, groups, so a lot of work really. And then we expanded actually our research throughout Europe and the Middle East, Northern Africa, America and Asia. Throughout this research, that you can figure it out in your mind as a spiral. So we started from a center basically, which was here, and we spiral out. So we gather momentum almost, where there was someone talking with us, or us talking with someone, a group of a person, and in which the moment clicked. And that moment actually we realized that we had something on board to bring into Manifesta. So we didn't really have a preconceived list of artists, we didn't really have a preconceived list of works. We created a project with 30 contributors, which are all new productions, as we went ahead in this kind of a, it's a discursive research, if you want to put it in this way. When we're talking about artistic production structure and mediatic production structure, there are a lot of differences, not just in terms of actually people, crew, resources, economical resources, but also in terms of pace, in terms of time production, in terms of agendas, in terms of politics. It has been done in the past, it's true, it has been done, for instance, in the 60s. Although those kind of experimentation, let's say, mediatic or artistic experimentation, they were precisely this. It was meant to produce artistic pieces and import them into the media, into the television specifically, which, to be honest, I'm not so sure if it works and if it's so interesting, because the nature of the media or the information system is different. What we are trying here is basically to enter art and artistic production into a mutual relationship with a system like the media, which is an information system, a communication system, as art is. So they're very different, but somehow they're not so different at the same time, because both of them are basically meant to address what is our human conditions and to address topics which are relevant for us, and to fix some points, maybe creating history through this point, or maybe kind of creating expectation. So in that terms, actually, we were discussing here, and someone said, well, but the job of an artist is not the job of a journalist, which is true. But to some extent, how one can help to understand better the other? Is it possible to actually not just import journalistic element into media, into artistic format or in artistic venues like we see in a lot of places now, and we started to talk about in a serious way from Documenta 10 in 97, for instance, but also reverse the process and try to set the condition for artistic production, even with a particular aesthetic production, to work with the media and exchange a mutual information about it. So to some extent contaminate, but also be contaminated a bit. And it's a very complicated question, but it's also an ethical question, if you want. Not many artists want to leave the so relatively safe world of artistic environment, because in the artistic environment you have procedure, you have contracts that might be verbal as well, you have time which are much more longer than the mediatic environment. The media environment is quite ephemeral in a way, not because it's not concrete in the effect, but because it works on a very quick pace, and things can change very, very quickly. Even if you have signed contract agreement with the production director, whatever you want to have, something happened tomorrow, change the condition, the agreement is not there. So it's really difficult, and there are certain risks. There are certain risks for art to be instrumentalized, for sure, but again, how we can talk about to art being instrumentalized by media, journalism for instance, and not journalists being instrumentalized by art in what we see around a lot of artistic venues, for instance. I think it's a risk that has to be taken on board. It's a process of negotiation that it is really difficult. But to some extent it is possible, and maybe artists are not pushing enough in that sense, maybe. It's a possibility. I'm not saying that it's not saying as a statement, but it's a possibility that whatever relevant issue they take on board, they discuss, they question, they problematize, they maybe even give solution, then if it stays into the artistic context, then maybe it's not so relevant. Then maybe it is relevant on a long term, of course, it's relevant through publication, through catalog, through seminars, it might affect in time, it might affect in space, but when you change this register and you work on into a mediatic system, all of a sudden everything is very, very relevant, it's very, very effective. Censorship, well, you do have censorship. You do have, that's something that you cannot avoid. The strategy here is basically to work with the production team, making them understanding the way an artist work, making them part of the process. And in that sense, actually, you collaborate with it, you do a co-production. Maybe censorship can happen anyway, maybe not. Because if they take it on board this particular time of production, this particular aesthetics, this particular angle, that maybe they say, well, we can also incorporate it and see, maybe use it in another program, in another format. I mean, they're always looking for a fresh eye anyway. I use the word they. I know there's not such a beast as a media. Many different channels of media, but I'm generalizing here a bit for clarity. Maybe there is something that it would be interesting for them also to take on board and use it and at the same time being used by it. Of course, you cannot compare the investigation and analysis and production resources of an average channel or newspaper with those of one artist or a collective. There's no comparison, actually. But because of that, artists can also have, for instance, the issue of time and dimension is something which is really, really important in the media production, because there's no time. There's so tight deadlines that actually the generation of content, it relies on pre-packed information most for 95% of the production. So to bring into such a structure an element of time, because to my view at least, there is a lot of time in artistic production, and we take it for granted that we need 6 months to produce a piece. But when you compare it with a format, a TV format, that's an enormous amount of time. So that's something that it's quite interesting to compare, for instance, and to see how it can be implemented. The issue of time here is not just an issue for the production side, it's also an issue for the receiver, for the audience, for the visitors. Because if you have a production in the newspaper in the morning when you're having a coffee at the bar, or I don't know, you listen to your radio and your iPod when on the bus you're going to work, you don't necessarily demand time from an audience to make extra time from an audience to visit an exhibition or biennial. You actually expand their time because you include such an artistic production or mediatic production into their time, so you expand their time. And I thought it was interesting to realize that the issue of time has to be considered on both sides, on the production side, but also on the reception side. And of course, the audience, we shouldn't underestimate the audience. I mean, the audience now, the media audience, is as aware as the artistic audience about what's going on, about the different agendas, about who is talking what. And that's why it's important, I think, to raise even another level of aesthetics. It's not because, let's say, an artistic type of aesthetic is better than a journalistic type of aesthetic, or is an artist is better than a journalist to report something or to address something or to figure it out, a situation or a problem. But for sure, the two actually can help to understand each other. It's an artistic production in the media production can help to understand better that what you see on television has a specific aesthetics and has a tradition of aesthetic. By placing them in the same context, you realize actually that the former, the first, is an aesthetic choice, is a specific register actually. So it's about of awareness maybe, and it's a part of highlighting the awareness of the viewer, which I think is pretty aware about, you know, the different things, and that's why it could work to place this interaction between art and media into circulation, let's say. Well, when I talk about a specific aesthetic, I think it's that, you know, it's taking on board this craftsmanship in a sense. And actually, I don't think that a piece has necessarily to be bad in terms of quality if it's done in a documentary format. So I think the issue of quality, of pleasure in watching something or hearing something or reading something well crafted, that's beyond any doubt. I'm not sure if it's only an artistic concern, but and also a media concern, I would believe. I mean, I think it's the quality is an important issue, but I don't think it precludes this interaction between the artistic approach and the mediatic approach. It's down really to the production, to the person, to the artist, or to the media producer.